Hey, everybody. Welcome to another REI Vault weekly team huddle call. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. Happy to have you on the call. If you're listening this to as a replay, thank you. We enjoy having you. This is an opportunity to ask questions, have any dialogue that you'd like. It could be technical in nature regarding Podio, marketing, campaigns, or anything related to real estate. Seems like most of the discussions on these calls are related to real estate. And we keep everybody muted so there's no background noise. If you have a question, go ahead and press star 5 on your phone, and we'll see that you've raised your hand. We'll bring you in the call. And don't be shy, whatever your question is. The more dialogue, I'm sure if you have a question, other people in the group probably have the same question. And and then if you have any questions during the week, make sure you always email support at reivault.com. And if it's a deal question related to a specific deal, if you could make sure to email dealhelp at reivault.com. We have a group of about 30, I think we currently have 38 people on the team. And so we want to make sure that that we answer your question as fast and as accurately as possible. So with that, let's kick this off. Chris, any updates you want to share before we open up the line?
Sorry. The one update, I just a comment, because I know that Justin, you had asked me about this in terms of how Justin's in the process of finding a new virtual assistant and then hiring them, obviously, and training them. And one of the questions he asked me was, how did I train my person? And a couple of things I would say is that, you know, the one thing I always have them go through is three things. Number one is you guys have access to that inside the members area, the objection handling course that I created a bit ago, and it's in the members area. So I always have them go through that so that they can, you know and understand how to communicate, talk to sellers, handle objections, et cetera. I also had them go through there was a call that we did in the members area where we went over the how, if you're having somebody else call for you, how do they position themselves so that they're positioning themselves as calling from a company and not being the actual investor, and how that benefits in mitigating, I guess, the seller being upset at a really low offer. And you can also use that approach as well, even if you're the one that's calling. And then I also had her listen to the call that we did based on how to make offers on ROI properties. So, you know, properties that are not necessarily properties you're going to comp for fix and flip, you know, if you're just looking at a straight ROI. And then the other thing is, you know, just the other thing I realized is that, you know, I just recently hired somebody, and as I hired them, I forgot that I had previously put everything in order inside Google Drive. So I have inside of Google Drive all the folders, all documents, all everything you can think of, and I had taken the time to do that. And so even though it's easy just to say, okay, yeah, here's this doc or here's this, I just find that it pays dividends to just, as you're bringing someone on board, take that as an opportunity to go through and create, you know, whatever the, you know, a folder in Google Drive, put in the documents, create the right folder structure, organize everything, and even though it may be slowing you down, in the end you're building up, you know, an asset there that now as somebody else comes in, or as your team grows, or if you need to repay someone, then obviously then it's easy just to give them access to that that particular folder. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention, which I didn't think of this, but I just thought of this last night, the nuance, this is a bit of a nuance, and I think we did this on our side, Gary, but, you know, I hired someone last week, and in the past when I hire someone, and this is up for discussion because I'd love to hear if anybody has any comments, but when I hired somebody, I would go ahead and I have Google Apps installed, and depending on where that person's going to be working, if they're going to be working the house business or the info business, I would put in the Google Apps for the domain, and I would just say, hey, you know, if I'm, you know, Chris Chico at hotmail.com, and I, so if somebody was Mary Jo at hotmail.com, then I would give them Mary Jo at chrischico.com. And one of the interesting things is that as this particular person that just came on board, she has a Gmail address. And then I realized that if I gave her a unique domain, then that would cut off all notifications from her on her phone. So as an example, I'm using Trello for keeping track of the back and forth and tasks and everything else. So she has Trello on her phone, but with her personal email. So I thought it was interesting, if I gave her a completely different email, then she would not be able to get notifications on her phone. Or if she was out and about, she wouldn't be able to like get all the notifications that she's normally used to getting notifications, because now by giving her a completely different domain and email address, I'm breaking the chain for those notifications if she's using the same platforms as I am. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's something that I ended up realizing as I was setting things up. So I ended up setting her up in she uses her own personal Gmail, and then everything is tied into the different systems, and so she is now able to get a notification on her phone for everything else without, and so I get the benefit of her being able to answer from her phone, et cetera. If I would have done it the other way, I would have broken that. I don't know if that makes sense, or maybe that was a little bit too... I tried to explain it as simply as I could, but I thought that was interesting. I never thought of that. Does that make sense, Gary? Over.
I think that I'm doing a you, Chris. I was muted. I think the question you're probably asking would be for Justin. Justin, I've unmuted you. Did I answer your question, Justin? That help?
With respect to...
No, there was another question. It was just that I was making a comment about Justin, about the fact that, you were asking me how would I train my gal. And then I was just making a comment that I don't know if you're going to hire somebody overseas or maybe somebody local, that depending on where they're at, if the way you set them up in those services, if those services are like, it might kind of break the chain of communication if you force them onto a completely different email than they're normally used to using, where they're tied into everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I was going to mention to you is that actually, I think with Shane, you were using Skype, right?
We were using Skype to communicate, yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing I'm using now, I'm testing, is bettervoice.com instead of Skype. So they're making their outbound calls and sending out text messages using bettervoice. And then I'm able to, and it automatically records our inbound and outbound calls. And I get notified so I can listen to them. So I don't know if you are still going to use Skype or not, but that's...
We're using Vumber.
Vumber, okay. For her Vumber. To make outbound calls?
Yeah.
Okay.
And text.
Interesting, okay. But that was it. That was my rambling. I only had one, a bit of rambling, and that's about it.
Cool. No real updates on my end. We've got Aaron and I have been working on a handful of deals. I've actually got to get putting a new phone person, experienced phone person on her account. She's got about 750 leads, but most of the deals we're kind of pulling together right now are creative. We've got two that are pretty close to being in contract with long-term owner financing. We've got a smoking deal here in California. Older guy, actually been going back and forth. He's in his late 80s, but he loves the idea of he knows that he really wanted $850,000 property. After repaired value is probably about 1.3, 1.4. But he really likes the long-term owner financing. He's a super sharp guy. He was formerly a realtor years ago. But we're structuring a deal where I'll probably come up with $100,000 in cash on the front end and then fixed monthly payments of approximately $3,000 a month. And that would be at zero interest on a really until paid in full and get him a little closer to the purchase price. But that would provide, we would ultimately, and he loves it because he actually wants to pass on. He doesn't need that much money to live. And he also doesn't want to pay the IRS. So he loves the idea of a long-term structure where he could pass. You know, he even said yesterday, because a guy my age is not thinking he's going to live for another 50 years. And he said, I love the idea of taking advantage of my tax. You know, he gets a $250,000 tax-free. The first $250,000 is tax-free. And so anything over and above would actually get passed to his kids as part of his estate. So he loves that structure, and I'm working on a deal. And it'll probably take a couple of weeks to get it wired, but we've got that. And then there's another one that we're working on, Chris, in Colorado. The seller has been very focused on a $200,000 purchase price. It's a nice property. Could actually be, it's on a good street. It's currently rented right now with a good tenant. But it actually could be more of like an attorney location. A lot of the properties on this street, it's zoned. It's not single family. It actually has a unit below that actually could be a nice office space. And so we're working on offering the seller. It's free and clear, and the seller's been focused on a purchase price of $200,000. So I'm actually going to offer $210,000 with $25,000 in cash up front and then long-term payments because they want all the money to go to the daughter, and they love an installment sale. And so I'm structuring that. I'll kind of keep you guys posted on that. But a couple interesting deals that are not the standard wholesale flips, but both of those structured properly could be a long-term income stream. So anyway, it's interesting that more of those deals are coming across my desk these days. But, you know, it just goes to show you that there's multiple ways to buy property, and it's not always all cash. So if you can learn the craft of being able to offer multiple options, it definitely makes sense. So that's pretty much all I've got. If you guys have a question, you want to ask a question to Chris or myself, you can press *5. And the way these calls work, if there's no more questions, we'll call it a day and end the call. So press *5 if you have a question. *5. If not, it might be a short day. Short call. All right, Justin. All right, Justin, you're live.
Gary, I have a question, but I was hoping to be at the very end because I've been having some conversations with Dream about some directions we want to do in the business, and she's on a call right now. So if there's anybody else who wants to jump in front of me, that'd be great. But if I'm the only man, then I'll just go.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? It could be on any subject. It could be on a deal you're working or a deal that's gone sideways or something you're interested in, kind of creative structure, marketing question, whatever you'd like. If not, Justin, you will be on the hook. So press *5 if you have a question. Chico, are you doing any creative offers in South Florida right at the moment, or is it all cash?
No creative offers.
Just come in with the sledgehammer and the shotgun, right?
I bring the tank, and then I bring I end it with a nuclear bomb. Yeah, I've been testing a variety of different things, so I would say my efforts are more around testing a few different marketing pieces and a few other lists versus we're trying to do deals, but I'm really just kind of testing a variety of different things right now. But I am using this Sledgehammer.
Cool. We're working. I haven't really chatted with you too much about this, Chris. I know you're involved a little bit, but we're working on a new handwritten postcard for Justin, and it's looking pretty good. We're actually going to put a live stamp on it, and just working through the best approach to make it look super, super authentic. And we're going to probably drop, I think, between Justin and myself, and I've got one other person. I actually think it's going to be Steve Carlson, but we're going to test it, and depending upon the results, that might be something that we want to put into production. But we'll have more details on that over the next month in terms of results. But I sent some pricing over to Justin. It looks like with the live stamp will be pretty darn competitive. I think it'll be less expensive than I've seen at some of the other places out there. So I'm pretty excited about that. And keep you posted. But the handwritten, it's going to be a red ink. It can actually be multicolor, but we're going to do red ink, handwritten, and we're following a sample that has been out there that other people are saying that works pretty well. So keep you posted on that. So if you have a question, press *5. Otherwise, Justin, I'll put you on the spot and open you back up. But *5 if you have a question. Justin, I unmuted your line. Did Dreema, is she still on a call?
She is, but that's okay. I'll handle it and force her to listen to the recording or take notes.
Okay.
We are, so obviously, you know that we lost our virtual assistant. Well, we didn't lose, I had to let her go, which is a side note. Anybody who has VAs supposed to be calling hangups, check your call logs. And you'll be
I was going to ask you, is that what happened? She said she was. If you don't mind elaborating, because I'd like to know what was the, if you would share the offense and also how you caught the offense.
I went in one day, and so sometimes, I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, so I get tasked everything in Podio through the transcription VAs on the sales team live side and the REI Vault side. And so I'm the first man to go in, review the lead, right, and then give a call. Or at least that's how it's structured today. Sometimes they will task me to call a seller if it's like one of those dead air messages, or it's like the guy talking in the background and he never really left a message. And so there were two such calls that came in that were tasked to me. And I tasked the Shane, the VA, at 10:24 in the morning. And then I messaged her at 4:30, and I said, hey, what happened with these two records in Podio? I noticed that you haven't followed up with them. And I never got a response until the following morning, and she's supposed to work until 6 p.m. at night. So when I messaged her at 4:30, and that was on Skype, there was an hour and a half left in the day for her to answer. And then so the next morning, when she checked in, I said, hey, what happened yesterday and what was going on and da-da-da-da and this and that. And I just basically caught her in a bunch of lies. I have her send me a daily report every day. She logged her hours as 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., but she sent me the daily report at 3:26. And so I asked her about this, and then I looked at what was in the daily report, what she had allegedly done. And there hadn't been any calls made on the day where she claimed she had worked. And so we had had an incident in the past about 7 months ago. So we were sort of a two strikes and you're out policy.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Anyway, so Dreema is back now, so I will give you guys the scoop. So obviously we need to replace this person. We're hiring, as Gary knows, somebody stateside to do outbound marketing for terms deals.
And we are wondering, would it be smart to get this completely offshore and have our stateside person also call our hang-ups and just have a single VA? Or are we better off leveraging the reduction in pricing that comes with an offshore person and divide and conquer? And curious as to what your guys' opinion is on that.
So you're thinking, just to make sure I understand, so you're thinking about going stateside versus overseas because you're at the same time, in addition to just simple hang-ups, they're also going to be calling the and trying to make creative offers? Is that accurate?
So let me clarify. So we have been waiting, and Gary's been working really hard at getting this new outbound stuff set up in Podio, which looks like we're, like, you know, hours if not days away to getting this thing launched. And so we were already planning on – we've already got a contract with a stateside VA who's going to call up and do terms deals. Now we're in a situation where we've lost our offshore VA, and we're wondering, do we go out and do we hire another new offshore VA to call hang-ups and do other such tasks, or do we just give everything to the stateside VA, realize that it's going to be much more expensive payroll, but we may get better quality work in return? And curious as to what your guys' opinion is on that.
And how much are you paying the stateside?
Do the hang-ups.
How much are you paying the stateside?
They're at $20 an hour.
$20 an hour. Okay. And
which
then...
Chico, $20 an hour, but you can actually buy a minimum of 5 hours a week. So you have the flexibility of scaling up or scaling down with them.
Mm.
So, you know, 5 hours a week, let's say 10 hours a week versus 40, right? So you're looking at $200 a week for somebody that's fully trained, somebody that knows the script, somebody that knows the exact questions to answer, and they do it full time, and they've been doing it for quite some time.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not concerned about that because this is for San Diego, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I would go with the stateside, even though they're more expensive. Like Gary said, you could scale up, but the other thing that I think about is you know, everybody else is, you know, in that market, you know, that's a competitive market, and in your market, you know, you lose a house here or there, and you're talking about, you know, six figures easily, right, between two houses. And the thing I think about is, you know, when the seller is being called by everybody, and everybody has some, and I don't know if you saw on Wholesaling Houses Full Time, one guy posted a VA call that I thought was really interesting in terms of how bad the VA was, but I think it's worth the extra margin that you have available to you. And I think it's worth paying the extra margin if you get somebody that's really great on the phone and if they can come across a particular way that the seller feels comfortable and then put you in a position where you could potentially get the deal versus somebody else who may have just a run-of-the-mill VA, you know, paying them $5 an hour calling from the Philippines and they're stumbling through the call and you can really tell that they're just not from around here.
I also had said to Justin, in my opinion, anybody who's picking up the phone on our behalf, whether it's outgoing marketing or calling hangups, to me, it needs to be the same caliber person. They're representing our company, and it's a hot lead, especially a hangup, because that's a hot lead. They called us. We didn't call them. So
yes.
I feel like you get what you pay for, and yes, it's going to increase our cost. I also feel like a lot of the offshore VAs bill for 8 hours, but they're only working a couple hours a day because it's not enough work to keep them busy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're in the market where the price points and the profit is such that, you know, if you were in a market where, you know, your average deal, you're only making $3,000 a deal, then you really gotta, you know, you gotta really look at those margins. And but I mean, for you, It means a big number if a solid person can get on the phone and be able to feel have the seller feel comfortable with moving forward or at least having more conversations with you. Sorry, Gary, go ahead.
Now, and the other thing I would do is I would make sure you're recording all of, it's Chris. Chris is actually going to be doing the calls for you guys, right?
Yes.
And she's awesome. I've been working with her. She's a total pro and she knows Podio. So it'd be really great since it's a dedicated phone line for doing outbound. I would also ask for them to record those and let her help build the script. That's the one thing, Chris, I still don't think we've got a really good script in place for calling hangups and exactly what to say. But let Chris help build that and record it and then, you know, start tracking it. And then as soon as you guys, maybe in a month or two, maybe that's something you do transition, right? Because you'll have enough training from an expert like Chris, and then you can transition the hangups. You could also look at, you know, what the return on investment, what the conversion is on hangup to deal, hangup to lead, and hangup to deal. And then once you get that kind of wired, transition that. But I especially in the California market, I don't think it makes any sense to have a Filipino VA. I mean, there's two things. One is accent, which is a little problematic. And then the second thing is their sales skills, right? And it's not just asking the questions. It's also kind of hearing the motivation from the tone of the voice and what's being, you know, the way that the seller is answering the questions. The more they give up, the more motivated they are. And sometimes that's a little tough to train somebody in the Philippines.
We are of, everybody is in agreement and is of the opinion that with a hang up, speed is key, correct? In terms of you got to call the hang up back ASAP, not a couple of days later, correct?
Well, yeah. Okay.
If you can.
Yes and no. However, you could call that back 6 months or 9 months. And the only negative of calling a hang up, you know, an hour, 2 hours, or 10 days later is they're not going to remember. So that's going to take a more skilled person. So having a Filipino call a hang up a week later, a month later, I think it's a lot more problematic. I think somebody like Chris that knows sales is going to know what to say.
Well, no. So my point was being that if the goal is to have them call back as quickly as possible, that we're going to want to have that person basically, for lack of a better word, on standby, so to speak. And I don't think that they're just going to hang out and do nothing. They're going to want to have that time committed. I could be wrong. I got to check with them and see what their processes are. But I don't know if they'll break out the time blocks for us. Have I gone to have them?
I don't know, Justin. I don't know if I'd really for the California market, for San Diego. I don't. I would take the delay. I would take the delay with somebody stateside that knows real estate and sales, like Chris, versus having somebody in the Philippines be able to call back in 3 to 5 minutes. That's just my take. I also think a really good salesperson could call the people that are angry, that want to be removed from the mailing list, and you convert some of those. Some of my biggest deals ever have come off of super, super pissed off, angry, don't ever send me a postcard again kind of message. So you couldn't really use a Filipino to convert those, but somebody that knows sales and they're really good on the phone could definitely convert those crappy leads too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's my take. I would test it out. What I'm doing, because I'm using the same group, right? If once we get this wired, I think that it would be acceptable to other people in REI Vault. But I'm having Erin right now. She has 750 leads. She's just overwhelmed. I did like $12,000 worth of mail for her, and so she's overwhelmed. So what we're doing is we're going back. She's going back to all the viable leads that she's marking. We're just looking through the ones she hasn't been able to call back and marking these are for Chris and these are for Erin. And so the ones that look super promising, where a seller left some kind of message with motivation in the voicemail, Aaron's going to jump on those, and then everybody else we're pushing over to Chris. And then we're going to also have her try a couple hundred hangups and just see what the conversion is. So I just let her unleash Chris, let her try 100 hangups and try it for a couple weeks. It's not going to cost that much money, and see how it works and make sure that she can record some of those calls for you. And if you want, maybe it would be worthwhile, Justin, for you and Chris and maybe Elsa to jump on a call and discuss this hang-up process and what the best script would be. I'll take the stuff that I use and maybe we can come up with a game plan with them, try it out together. Because you and I are going to be using Chris just to share some of her time and keep her full-time with us, right?
Yeah.
I think Justin's hot button is that he feels strongly that the reason we need to have a VA is in the Philippines is because we need somebody to be able to call hang-ups immediately. And I think, if I'm hearing correctly, what you guys are saying is it's less about calling immediately and more about having somebody who can convert the hang-up. Is that a correct assumption?
I'm of the opinion for the San Diego market. For California, for that type of seller at that price point, I think it's important to have somebody stateside. And
okay.
I would take the delay of the hang-up, if it's the next day or a couple hours later or what have you, I would take somebody stateside, right, that's a trained salesperson, and take the delay versus hiring somebody in the Philippines to jump on that immediately, and specifically for the California market. If other markets, if you're in Wisconsin or Minnesota and you're picking up a $50,000 or $150,000 house, it's one thing. But we're in California, you get a much more sophisticated seller at a higher price point and bigger profit.
Yeah.
So I would take the exchange for a stronger salesperson with stronger skills to talk to sellers.
Okay.
Chris, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I would say the other thing that has worked for us in the past is that let's say that you had, I think that the VA comes in handy, the Philippine VA comes in handy is, let's say you had hundreds of people that, are old leads, you've never been able to reach, and you need just somebody to just pile through them. And out of 100 people, there might be 10, 15 people that they might reach, and immediately as soon as they reach them, then they're going to punt them over to somebody else who's actually going to talk to them. So they're, if anything, I would use overseas VA to maybe just kind of as a working through a bunch of numbers to finally see, hey, who's still alive, and then send them over to someone who's actually going to talk to them. We've done that before with a bunch of old leads, and we ended up getting deals from them. But and then the VA would just call them as soon as he got somebody on the phone. He'd go, hey, let me have you talk to Steve. Because if you're interested in still selling your property, let me have you talk to Steve, and that way we can see if there's something there for us. And then Steve took over. That would be the only. I would agree with Gary. The only my comment is just if you did have a bunch of those calls, the VA may come in handy for that if there's just too much of a volume.
Okay. Thanks for your opinion, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. If you've got a question for Chris or myself, press *5. And we don't have any more questions, then we'll end today's call. *5 if you have a question. Right. I think that's a wrap, Chris. I don't see any additional questions. So that is it. All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk with you next Tuesday. Take care.
Take care, everybody.